0 to 100. It's episode 100 of the Fantasy Rucker Show. We celebrate this special occasion talking about players who went under the radar heading into the 2024 Fantasy MLR season and took it from 0 to 100 real quick. We also have a week 3 breakdown, a waiver wire watch segment, and of course, look ahead to week 4. The Fantasy Rucker Show starts right now.
Where rugby and the world of fantasy sports collide. Welcome to the Fantasy Rucker Show, bringing fantasy rugby to the masses, talking all things rugby from the MLR to leagues around the world. We're on top of it. Headphones on, pads off. This is the Fantasy Rucker Show. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Yee, Matt Yee, and Devin Vanderpool.
What's up, everybody? This is episode number 100 of the Fantasy Rucker Show. Thank you so much to our Fantasy Ruckers community members, our league members, and everyone else tagging along on this journey of trying to make fantasy rugby a reality in the MLR. Episode 100. We made it, boys. Hey, this is a big one. It's pretty cool. I didn't think... Oh, mine's going off. Imagine it. I did not think we'd make episode 100, boys, but what? Hey, here we are. We've been doing this for quite a long time.
Faith.
What are we?
Faith in people.
What a journey it's been here on the Fantasy Rucker Show. 100 episodes in, still trying to make fantasy MLR reality, like we say at the top of every single show. It's been a fun one, guys. And hey, now we're
I got a question.
Triple digits. Yeah.
When does it become a reality? It feels pretty real right now.
That's true.
100 episodes, 4 leagues. I mean, it's feeling pretty real.
We're going to have to change up the intro to our show maybe. But yeah, it's super exciting stuff. Episode 100. Thank you to all of our dedicated listeners, followers, and league members, community members that have followed us for this whole 100 episode journey. And we're going to hope to do 100 episodes more. But hey, let's get a little bit back into it and having a celebration here. And start going here. This is good stuff. Episode 100. And hey, the music is also there because
we're gonna get striked.
Supreme Commissioner Yee got his
you
first
get licenses
win.
To that?
I think I did.
We're not celebrating this stupid win.
Move on. Give me a little bit. Supreme Commissioner Yee
what?
Got his
we didn't get Vandy didn't get any celebration for his first win 2 years
or
ago. I didn't get any celebration for my first win 2 years
actually,
ago.
Actually, I think me and you had a time when we got our first win, buddy.
That's true, but we didn't play no music.
We didn't play no music.
We just got the sad music every time we lost.
It just happens that
bags on our heads.
Vandy lost this week,
wow.
So we'll play
see,
this a little bit.
See, Vandy.
You can go, dude. This got me going right now.
This guy gets out of the basement. So and moves from last God, place
just,
to third last.
I tried my
what can
best.
I say? We're
I tried
back.
My best, and it just wasn't good enough.
But, we got a big episode here on episode 100. A lot to get to. Obviously, that big Supreme Commissioner Yee win. But, we're going to break down the exciting week 3 that was in this one. Obviously, talk a little bit of waiver wire. We're going to look ahead to the week 4. Exciting matches we got a big one coming up in week 4.
Big
and
hey, one.
We got a special 0 to 100 segment for you what? On this episode number 100 of the Fantasy Rucker Show. So lots to get into here on a very very big milestone here for us here as the Fantasy Ruckers. You guys ready to get into it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, before we do, like we say every single episode, 100 episodes in, if you're not already, make sure you're giving us a follow at the Fantasy Ruckers. The handles are up above on your YouTube video, down below in the description to give us a little support there. All the latest when it comes to fantasy MLR are there. And you'll also be able to see a whole bunch of top ranking stuff, weekly challenge stuff, waiver wire pickups. All of the above are there on our socials. Like, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That helps out a lot. Rate us on our podcast, wherever you get your podcast as well. Subscribe there too. If that's all not enough, join our Discord community. It's been popping off a whole bunch of people. We're almost at 100 people there in our Discord community. So let's get that number up there join the community that is the Fantasy Rucker's community. They've been a blast and they love talking on game day, love talking fantasy MLR, love talking MLR and everything else going on in the rugby world. And hey, give the fantasyruckers.com a look too. The revamped website looks absolutely amazing. thanks to our very own Alistair Kirsch Pool. Give him a big shout out. It's really cool stuff there. So, yeah, whole bunch of fun stuff in this season. And we're going to keep on rolling here, like we said, 100 episodes more. But let's get into it, guys. News and notes. Not so much, like we said, last episode, because we're kind of in the thick of the regular season.
Into the thick of it.
Trades. Not really a big factor here 3 weeks in. But, hey, big announcement here for the final of the MLR season taking place August 4th. And what has been announced? Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. Nice. Pretty cool stuff. Going out west. I was in Chicago last year, San Diego this year. Hey, maybe the Fantasy Ruckers got to take a little vacation out to San Diego to go catch this year's MLR final.
That's a big flight for the boys.
Yeah, you know what? I've never been on a plane, so...
Let's go.
Maybe I'll just walk over.
All right, let's make some pitches to the Fantasy Ruckers executive team, and we'll see whether or not we can we can get that funded here.
It's just Ryan talking in the mirror.
No kidding. I was just gonna convince myself. All right. Well, who knows? Do we have the funding? I'm not too sure. But funding? We'll see.
Wait, you guys get paid for this?
All right, well, Snapdragon Stadium, San Diego. We'll find out who is going to be in that final. Kind of have a somewhat of a picture here 3 weeks into the season, but at the same time, not really, because it seems really, really tight once we get into that week 3 breakdown. But nonetheless, before we get to that breakdown, got to do a little bit of update for the Fantasy Ruckers League members.
Hear ye,
here is Supreme Commissioner Yi with your Fantasy Ruckers
just sickening.
Update. What's sickening about it, Vandy?
Just the way
What's
you say it. It just
why?
I don't know. Why? I can't tell you why the hairs stick up on the back of my head when you say it, but they do.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to a dictatorship here.
Yeah, we are. And there's no votes.
Well, what can I say? No dictatorship here when it comes to weekly challenge, because what can I say? Ryan Yi is doing absolutely fantastic in the weekly challenge, just dusting it 30 points above anyone else in 3 weeks into this weekly challenge.
If only this was like the weekly challenge league, not the MLR fantasy league.
That's true. I take it. But hey, I had a nice lineup of Nick Suchar, Ronan Foley, Martin Elias, Tarangatira Waitokia, and Marcel Muller for my lineup there.
Yeah.
And
it paid good dividends.
71.9 points in this week. The next highest was 57.7. But nonetheless, you, Maddie, you did pretty good there. You're in second place.
Measly
137.2.
Whatever. Oh, my goodness. Measly. Just move on, Ryan.
What? I'm move at 169. On to the next one. What could I say?
Yeah, okay. I get it. Sweet. You're doing so great in the Fantasy Rockers. The weekly challenge.
Matt, you won. You got no reason to be salty. I can be salty.
That's true. Whatever. We can both be salty.
Hey, well, right? In the Fantasy Ruckers League, Maddie, you got the dub. We made it clear. I myself got my very first fantasy MLR season, our very own.
Congratulations, buddy.
Hey, thanks, man. John Fitzpatrick, Rugby Morning. I'm not putting salt in the wound. What can I say? I have the controls to the soundboard here.
Yeah,
so
of course
I can do whatever the heck I want. Fitzy giving me of Rugby Morning, giving me the congratulations, beating him for my first ever MLR win. We had the stats come out this week pretty early. And he said, of course, the week that Ryan gets his first fantasy MLR win, do the stats come out right away?
Funny how that happens.
I remember when I got my first fantasy MLR win, I had to hit him with the Michael Jordan shrug, because what can I say? We're winning here officially here on my side of things. It feels good.
Hey, good win, buddy. Good win.
Hey, thanks, man. But hey, when it comes to the weekly challenge, though, we still want people to participate. We're at around almost 30 people participating in the weekly challenge. We'd like to put this out there because it gets your toes dipped in tasting what fantasy MLR is like. You can join the sign up link is down below in the description, in our bio of our social channels, and you'll be able to join that if you haven't already. It's a whole lot of fun. You get to compete against some of the top community members of Major League Rugby, among other pretty loyal Fantasy Ruckers Community League members as well. It's been a whole lot of fun. Pick $15 budget, 5 guys. Kind of a fun way to just take a dabble here in Fantasy MLR. It's a lot of fun, I promise you, when you're winning. Right, Vandy?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, also, I wanted to give a shout out to our league members. I know a whole bunch of suggestions are coming in terms of changed rules, maybe some different ideas in terms of how we can add points, maybe expanding the bench a little bit, things like that. Really, really good to see. That's what this season's all about. When we opened up to the masses and opened up to the public, we want to get those ideas. We want to get those suggestions. We've opened up a fantasy MLR suggestion box. We have a suggestion box now, guys. We're getting legit. 100 episodes in, finally have a suggestion box. On our Discord channel, you can submit kind of ideas that you have there. And again, we're going to submit a Google form to all of the league members that participated this past season. Get your feedback and what your first fantasy MLR season experience was like, and see what changes we can make heading into further years here. So a lot of fun stuff. You guys have been having fun so far? 3 years in? You guys have been experts now.
Yeah, I'm having fun.
Well, you know, we're just living the dream over here playing fantasy MLR.
It's true. It doesn't get any better than this. All right. And then last thing, we're going to add a new segment here on the Supreme Commissioner Yee's update every single week. Great idea. Got to give props to Stephen Lowen, Feral Hippies in our Fantasy Ruckers League. He had this idea where we're going to highlight some top performers from across the Fantasy Ruckers leagues, just to give them a shout out in terms of some big time performances. And of course, the week that he suggests this segment, he ends up being our top performer at 104.9 fantasy points in the Fantasy Ruckers League. Well, hey, who got the brunt of that 104.9 fantasy points? It was Vandy, and they have a bet going on who's going to win a jersey this season. And in the first match up of their series.
Hey, Steven, I forgot my wallet. It's in my other pair of jeans, man. Sorry, buddy.
All right. Well, given some other shout outs to some other league members, P_Reggie of the Ruck This League and the Fighting Beavers of the Lou Mall Natties Deep Dish League, both racking up 91.6 fantasy points in their lineups to tie for second overall. Number fourth coming in is Molly Malone of the Tryhards League with 91.5 points, and then 87.3 by What the Faffs in the Scrum and Coke League. So shout out to our league members.
Name.
Again, yeah, it's fantastic. Keep on keeping on there for our Fantasy Ruckers League members. Because it's been a whole lot of fun. 3 weeks in the season. We still got another 14 weeks to go.
14,
in the fantasy MLR season, with our final happening in week 17 out of 18 of the MLR season. All right, you guys ready to break down some matches here in week 3?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Well, the New England Free Jacks, Nola Gold, kicking off first here on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Had a jam-packed Saturday of matches, 5 of the 6.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, it's a tough one to keep.
Why? Why? All right,
I don't get it either.
Well, I don't want to go into it too much, but Rugby Network doesn't even let us watch two games at once. How the heck am I supposed to watch two games when they're on at the same time?
I actually created another
account. How much time MLR takes to digest these games?
It's true.
Quite a bit. It's true. Quite a bit.
It is. It is quite a bit. Well, hey, the Nola Gold and New England Free Jacks in a somewhat of a nail biter here in this one. Nola Gold coming out quickly.
I almost got this one right.
You almost got it right. I was
sweating. Guess who did get it right, though? Boom! Baby.
Yeah, when Nola Gold is up 14-0 here to start off the match, it was pretty incredible. But hey, New England Free Jacks, the 2023 MLR champions, coming out on top in the end with a 27-21 victory. Had them sweating a little bit, but nonetheless, the 2023 champs coming through. Maddie, overall thoughts about the New England Free Jacks and Nola Gold matchup?
Yeah, I mean, Vanny, get out of here. I know you got notes over there. You coming hot. I know you will.
That's right.
I don't know. New England Free Jacks haven't really impressed me, to be honest. Basically, I think what they did was they won the kicking battle. Mm-hmm. Like, they tactically won the kicking battle. I think Nola got away from kind of what they were doing well, and they started kicking the ball away in that second half. New England Free Jacks, they haven't really impressed me that much. And Nola actually, you know, they made it pretty hard for them at the breakdown. And one of Nola's strengths is being really difficult and making things really hard at the breakdown. But I am yet to be super impressed by New England.
Well, I think it was more just Nola came out really hot, 14-0. Yeah. I mean, we can't deny 27 points unanswered until Nola punched that one in at the end. But
yeah,
I mean, 27 points unanswered. The second half was, you know, rugby from my point of view is just a giant war of attrition.
Yeah.
And then you see these speedy guys for the Free Jacks, their back line just started working. End of the first half, beginning of the second half, and they were just working. Guys like Reese McDonald were just everywhere. That try he had, god damn.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that try that he had is a perfect example of
luck.
You know,
Dougie
Fife,
they need
the bounces.
Ball bounces
they
one
needed
way,
the bounces. Yeah. They're not doing it the way that we used to see them doing it in terms of, like, building phases.
Yeah, it's true.
And, like, beating teams down. Their set piece isn't even that impressive this year so far. So it's kind of interesting to see. They're winning in different ways, which isn't a bad thing. It's just not the New England Free Jacks that we're used to. And frankly, they're kind of having to be reliant on other teams' mistakes in order to win games.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you both. Definitely a sentiment that the New England Free Jacks definitely don't feel as strong as they did in the 2023 season. But again, a lot of season to go. Nola Gold, though, they have been showing some spurts of brilliance there. And I know, Maddie, you're pretty high on them. And they were close. Very, very close. But let's hand out some Team of the Week honorees here. And our first one is the Team of the Week center honoree. And you might have thought, maybe it was J.P. Duplessis. But no, this is a different guy that has been stepping up this season so far, and that's Jordan Jackson Hope. I mean, 26.3 fantasy points in this matchup against the New England Free Jacks. His season high so far. Two tries in this one. 142 meters gain. Add seven tackles on top of that. He's among the top of our players here out of all fantasy MLR with 53 in the total. Half of those coming from this matchup. But, I mean, Jordan Jackson Hope, he was obviously kind of overshadowed by J.P. Duplessis, by us coming into the fantasy MLR season. Yep. But it looks like he's kind of taking the reins there and really running away with it.
Yeah, it's clear that he's kind of the backbone of the offense so far. He's being used on set piece. He's being used in open play. And he's making the most of it. Every time he touches the ball, it turns to Nola Gold. So, it's pretty impressive to watch.
Yeah, the work he does in free space, too, is just nasty.
Oh yeah,
and we're gonna start keeping track of some of these kind of long term bets that we've had. Maddie opened up the season saying that the Anthem were going to finish with less than 3 wins. He picked the under on that. Another thing Maddie said was that Reese McDonald is going to finish off as the top back 3 player of the season. And he continues that stretch of games, because Reese McDonald in coming off a 17.8 point performance in round 2, a 40.8 point round performance in round 1, 24.1 points here against Nola, 153 meters gain, one try, 6 tackles. Reese McDonald looks like he's going to make that prediction, Maddie, come to a reality here with how well he's playing.
Yeah.
Fanny said it, man. Just finding himself in the right places. He's on a tear right now. He's in form.
He's scrappy, man. With him with the ball, he's just, you know, the engine on the kid. It's just insane. Yeah. He battles for everything. He's not scared of contact.
He knows how to make people miss.
Yes, and that
every
too.
Time in tight spaces when there's nothing on.
He hit that fence pretty hard though. He was laying down for a bit. We'll see how he looks for next week, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
Hey, fence fights back.
Fence fights back.
Few other guys that did well from the Free Jacks side, Jason Putros. He's been pretty consistent so far. 16 fantasy points for his season high so far. Wayne Vanderbank, 15.9 when he scored
a good game too.
First try of the season. And Ben Lesage continues to do Ben Lesage things with another 15.2 point performance with the try he had. We were talking before, show Vandy. Taniela Filamoni also solid with 14.1 points.
Dude, his try to come down with that ball, man, that takes guts. That takes guts to go up for those.
Absolutely. Well, New England Free Jacks sneak it out with this one in their victory over Nola, 27-21 to push themselves to 2-1. Nola Gold no longer undefeated. Any more that you guys got to say on this matchup?
No, I think we got it all. Time to move on to the next one.
All right, let's go to the next one in that same afternoon. Old Glory DC in their first ever match at the Maryland Soccer Plains.
That field
looks
good.
And the Chicago Hounds. I know we've had a couple of Fantasy Rutgers League members that were in attendance. I know AKP, Alistair Kirschpool, was in attendance too. Kind of an interesting match to open up their new home stadium. A 22-22 tie. Some missed kicks here and there. I think expected to
Robertson.
Be a win. For Old Glory DC, but Chicago Hounds squeaking out a tie here. Maddie, thoughts on this one here in Germantown, Maryland?
A lot of missed kicks by Robertson. I mean, not just off the tee, out of hand as well. Yeah. Obviously, we got to point out that Nana Schultz.
Red card.
Nana Banana got a red card.
Oh. Debatable. What did you guys think of it? I know there was kind of
slow. Landing on the head. I mean, I don't know.
It's blatantly in the rules. He's going. Billy Meeks is going up to get the ball. I think I saw AKP, an OGDC fan, obviously a bit biased, saying that he's jumping into the tackle, but Billy Meeks never had the ball. He's going for the ball. It is a contest in the air. He never had possession of it. So he's going for the ball in the air. He just got himself in a bad position.
Yeah.
Billy Meeks landed in the worst way possible. And he, Fanana Schultz, had to do more to get out of the way. Like, it's tough, but that's the rules. You got to do more to get out of the way, or at least try to compete for the ball in the air and make it a contest. So
that's fair.
A red's a red. It is what it is. But look, I think the two big things, Axel Muller, Damien Hoyland, I'm sure we'll get to them fantasy wise, but they changed this offense for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they looked very good when they had quick ball. Those guys were breaking the gain line to allow them to continue to have quick ball. They just made too many mistakes in the red zone inside that 22 where they just couldn't finish and add on the missed kicks.
And I thought they were going to capitalize at the end, that yellow with like 7-8 minutes. You know, I feel like you just got to pull it out there.
Yeah, they just made too many mistakes. And, you know, you have to beat these teams like Chicago if you're going to do well. Like,
100%.
Chicago is not looking that great. Their offense is looking...
I mean, look at that try better. They got. Was it? I think it was Boomer. They go up four, but he taps it back, lands in his hands, I mean, way behind the defense. He just turns around and runs it in.
Yeah. It's like, but like, those are the ones that you're okay with giving up, right? Like, but you have to beat these teams like Chicago if you're OGDC and you want to do well, because Chicago is not in a good space right now. Their back line still doesn't look great.
No.
You know, they're still trying this Billy Meeks at 10. I thought actually Billy Meeks looked better at 10 this game, but they're still just, they're not expansive enough to beat teams, and they shouldn't be tying an Old Glory DC team.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you guys more. And who likes ties anyways, right? Ties suck.
It's like kissing your sister.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other team of the week honorees here in this matchup. 22-22 tie, but that didn't mean that there were some big time performances. And Matt, you kind of mentioned him. Welcome to the league, Axel Muller.
Dude. Because
I've been waiting. I've had him sitting on my bench waiting to play him. I was in trade talks with
Jonathan that kick from Robertson, though, morning. For his second try. That was filthy.
So big.
And Fitzy, there was a reason why that he wanted to get him in a trade. I was talking about maybe exchanging Axel Muller for Ronan Foley, one up in that one. And I don't think I'm doing that anymore because Axel Muller scores 25 fantasy points in this one. He was absolutely electric. 103 meters gained, 2 tries, 9 tackles, a breakdown steal. Axel Muller is going to be a whole lot of fun to have on your fantasy.
Yes, he will.
He's back from suspension.
He is so large. That's all I can say. He's just large. He's a large man.
As a 14 too, like, come on, man.
I know it's exciting. On the Chicago side of things, let's dish out our back row team of the week honoree, and that is Connell Boomer. He made his first start this season, and he takes advantage of it. 2 tries, 70 meters gained, 5 tackles, a breakdown steal, leading to 21 fantasy points. He's probably on many people's waiver wires. We might talk about him a little bit more heading into this waiver wire watch segment. We'll see. But Connell Boomer showing up in this one at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Can't take that away from
long
him.
Range, he had that long range try, so that pretty helped. That helps a lot with the fantasy points.
I mean, love to have off that. The misplay, but whatever.
And then last guy I want to mention here, another new back three player for Old Glory, Damien Hoyland, 17.1 fantasy points with 134 meters gained, 4 tackles. Hoyland Muller back three is going to be pretty electric for
Old Glory. They were finding holes in the outside. It was crazy. Gosh, as soon as the ball got to the outside, it was just. They're
gosh,
just too fast, man.
Yeah. And Hoyland, yeah.
And Martin Vaca. Martin Vaca behind that scrum or whatever. Yeah. Behind the rucks. So good, man.
Yeah.
He's just so nasty. He knows how to finish. Tough physical dude. You know what? He's a great asset to have.
And he's playing, I don't know what, but he's playing like 70 minutes as a front rower.
Crazy. Like,
74, 77, 60. Like, those are the minutes that you want
to
see.
I mean, well, when you're watching the game, you're just constantly like, man, that's it for him. Because he goes down so much and then just gets back up, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's got Rocky music just constantly.
I think he does. I think he does. Yeah, 9.2 fantasy points in this one. Vaca continues, which is pretty solid for front row production. Again, 22-22 tie between the Chicago Hounds and Old Glory DC. All right, shifting over to the evening matchup on Saturday, Houston Sabercats taking on the Miami Sharks. And what was kind of an interesting one, it was close to start with Miami. Yeah. Just like the ball handling to start off the match, just poor even throughout it, was just tough, and really then finally Houston kind of overthrowing this one and taking this victory 30-19. Thoughts on kind of this one? Now Houston stays undefeated, Miami still looking for their first win in franchise history. It was an interesting one.
Well, I didn't know if it was gonna start so hot when that original try gets called off because Dyer gets the penalty.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that Warner try, man, that guy's got that dog in him, man. Little quick tap, boom boom.
And book it here. I'm going to add to that bet list. I think Andre Warner is going to finish off as the best scrum half.
Matt.
Of the
2024 Matty picks
year.
Up scrum half one. No big deal.
You got Warner? See, what it is. You got Warner?
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
Don't even worry about
it. Damn it.
No, but Houston, I mean, they did not play well. I didn't think that they showed the best. I think the one bright spot, I mean, there were a few bright spots, but the nice bright spot for them is that
they got the bonus point.
That center combo, even without the usual Dom Aquino, Tuolatassi, you got Sam Hill and Lourdes Vanderskip. Those guys are absolute monsters.
Yes,
I mean,
they are.
Those guys are absolute beasts. It's surprising to see the Houston set piece kind of get driven back by this Miami team. I know that the Miami team in the commentary were saying, hey, like we can get these guys, and they did. But, yeah, this Miami team just makes way too many mistakes. I mean, Shane O'Leary couldn't catch a ball if it was like if he had Stickum on his hand. Everything was just going through his fingers every time you put the ball up to him. This Miami team still needs to.
You know what, though, that I do
still
like.
Needs to figure out. But they won the first half, which is a really good look. It seems like they're trending upwards.
And they take the penalty kick. You know what I mean? Instead of just going, trying for it, they just take, like, Felipe Echeverri. He's going to be good, man.
I mean, he's an animal. He doesn't miss a thing.
No.
But I don't know. Like, at some point when you're Miami, you have to take the penalty kick. Well, I'm saying, like, you can go for it, but, like, your team is not converting. You can keep trying to go for it, but at some point, your most assured way of getting points is through the boot. Your back line isn't that great. Your set piece, like, back moves isn't going to be that awesome because the back line still looks like they need some time to sink.
Well, the announcer was saying, too, Miami's got to do a better job of you know, when you have a couple failed phases in your own end, you got to get that ball out. And there were so many times they would try four or five phases, lose the ball at the breakdown, like multiple times.
Yeah, it's tough. But
how about Alatimu showing up?
Yeah. I mean, Davey Kotsur was a tough one to see.
Yeah.
Because I have him as my starting fly half after coming off such a dominant performance with AJ Alatimu coming in there. But, hey, he steps in, does well. I wasn't able to pick him up. I didn't act quickly enough on the free agency, so I wasn't able to roll with the handcuff that I drafted. But, nonetheless, he showed up, 10.8 fantasy points. There really wasn't that many big fantasy point producers in this one. I mean, the biggest one, again, in this match was a 12.4-point performance by Lourdes Vanderskip, which, again, is not that high for a center position, 91 meters gain and a try assist. But, again, the big one, I think, here, if you had Andre Warner on your squad, 11.1 fantasy points from the scrum half position when he had that quick tap try.
Echeverri got some points, too.
Pretty solid. Yeah, Echeverri, 10.3 for him. And, I mean, again, the team of the week here, honoree in this one, is that the defense set piece position, Houston Sabercats with 5 points, and we're gonna get
huge
into more of this defense set piece, kind of how you should approach it, because it feels like this year it's just even less than previous years. They really haven't been doing anything. I was dropping some bank on and we'll get into this matchup for Dallas Jackals to try to get them into my lineup, because I am a Chicago Hounds owner who they haven't been doing anything since that first match, and even the Dallas Jackals didn't do that great. But Houston Sabercats, the top defense set piece in this one with 5
points. I mean, they picked it up in the second half. They really came back into form because they were not looking great in that first half, but they found their way.
Absolutely.
And that's all right.
Let's shift on to your boys, Vandy, for the second last matchup of Saturday. Dude. Yeah, tough one. The Utah Warriors taking on the Seattle Seawolves at home. I mean, we know the story. Utah is just riddled with injuries right now. They lose this one 23-13. Yeah, tough one here, but Seattle does Seattle things. They remain undefeated. Utah 1-2 now in the 2024 MLR season.
Well, I mean, it's frustrating. It's super. I know we're missing six backs, and, you know, we move Zion going to 13, get Kieran McClay in. So, you know, there's a lot of, like, you've seen Paul Asike doing a bunch of coaching to, you know, to this younger backs. But, I mean, with Haddon going off in the first minute, you know, it doesn't get, you know, you don't ever wish injury in fantasy. But, I mean, as far as that goes, you need to be better when you see a guy like that go off. It needs to excite the team a bit more. And then just not converting on opportunities, you know, the knock-ons. We started the second half, gave him great field position. Hodgson, rough game for him, honestly. Really rough game. Uncharacteristic misses. So many times he tried to make a play with the boot. Didn't work. He would try and make a pass, get picked off. You know, it was pretty rough there. And then I would say, honestly, though, my MVP for Utah, if there could be one, would be Frank Lahore. Man, that guy.
Add some French to it.
Yeah, like that?
That's very.
Well, no. They say Lahore. That's how they that's his name, man. There's no French to it. But
hey, it's premium service, man.
No, he had a great game. I think he had 10, 11 tackles, you know, pretty good meters gain for a four. I thought he had the best game out of all of our – and he got the try, obviously. So
yeah, and I mean, I think that points right towards, like, my thoughts from the game of, like, they dominated. Utah dominated when you kept the ball in tight. You kept the ball with the centers. You kept the ball with the forwards. You dominated. But
that's not our identity. We constantly give it to the backs.
Yeah, but
I'm with you. I wish
we
would have stuck to
right?
the
like.
What
look
do they
at
call
the backline.
The gorilla squad comes in at 60 minutes. Yeah. You thought they were gonna just, you know, pound the rock a bit more, but what do you do?
But like, look at, like, you have to do with what you got, and you don't have the backline to play that expansive rugby right now.
Hey, they're all supposed to be back next week. Let's see.
Apparently. But yeah, you just needed to keep things tight, because that's when you guys were dominating the Seattle team.
Yeah.
The other thing is that on defense, like, Utah, and this again points to the fact that
we can't tackle.
They just don't have their top outside center and top wingers out there. Is that they're shooting up on the outside, and they just weren't committed to it. And Seattle was able, you saw in the first try, essentially just able to get the ball out. You pass that defender, and all of a sudden you're gone for a break, and that's how they scored their first try.
But then we got Joel Hodgson coaching defense on the 5 yard line, or 5 meter line, and it's just like, what the heck, man? Like, what's going on?
On the Seattle side, I also thought their backline shape is probably the best in the league, for sure, just their organization. But in this game, for whatever reason, their timing was just off, it seemed. It might have been because, you know, having Divin Rousseau start, or like officially needing to start at 13. I know he started last game at 13, but that was kind of last second. Maybe it was Duncan Matthews being back at 15.
Jade Styling had a game.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, Seattle's still Seattle, and they showed it there. Yeah.
I wish Dan Creel had the game instead. Well, I would have won.
Yeah, tough one. Well, hey, one team of the week honoree, and this one at the front row position, Joe Tufetti, doing Joe Tufetti things. 11.2 fantasy points with the try he scored with six tackles. Pretty cool to see that. But yeah, I mean, the big name here is Jade Stigling continues to do what he does. I mean, 22.5 fantasy points. This is a guy we're gonna get more into our 0 to 100 segment, but 135 meters gain, a try. This guy came out of nowhere, and he was a big pickup in our fantasy Rutgers league last year. I tried to drop money down on him as a Tony Pulu owner just to have that handcuff on who to play. And honestly, it wouldn't even be a bad thing. Out of all the teams, Matt, you mentioned it, how good the Seattle Seawolves backline is. To have shares of this backline is going to bring you dividends this season, because even on their off games where they're not connecting as much, you still have Jade scoring 22.5 fantasy points.
Well, that Seawall just holds you up, man. It's just it's just a damn war of attrition. And that Seawall is so good at stopping momentum. They don't get penalties on the breakdown. They don't give the ball up. It's frustrating. Frustrating team to play against.
Styling was sweet, but the guy for me in that game, Dylan Nell on Utah, he was just an absolute mutant. Breakdown, offensively, in the carry, just everything. Dylan Nell was an absolute beast.
Yeah, at eight, man.
Yeah.
14.1 fantasy points, 96 meters gained in that one with 15 tackles. Pretty solid there.
Absolutely.
On that side. A couple other guys, Duncan Matthews making his first start of the season, scoring 11.6 with 82 meters gained.
Looked good, too.
Yeah, looked pretty solid. Charles Elton, pretty solid in this one, 12.2.
I think that's their best back line moving forward. So,
yeah.
If you're thinking about Seattle, I think that's
Duncan, Creel.
Yeah. Divin Rousseau at 13, Styling, Tony Pulu. And then obviously Mac Mason.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Utah Warriors again falling short 13-23 against the Seattle Seahawks at home. Let's move on to the last matchup of Saturday. This one was probably the most
worst game of the weekend.
Matchup of the weekend.
Yes, sir.
Pretty tough. 19-18 victory for the Legion over RFC Los Angeles. Yeah, it was a tough one to kind of watch there. Kind of like the Utah Warriors.
You know, it was a highlight.
Chicago Hounds matchup of the
first week. 10 minutes.
No, the highlight was old Stacey Pates in her hat. Holy cow, Stacey looked good. That was an awesome hat that she was wearing. Oh. She looked so cool. It was awesome. That was nice to see her.
I forgot to say it for the Old Glory game, but they had McGregor's belt there.
Yeah, they did. They
Conor
McGregor
was the
brewmaster
or whatever. He's just he's just sitting there holding the belt. I'm like, what the? Just some Irish dude. He's like, Conor McGregor.
I got here in huge letters. Stacey looks so cool in her hat, and she did. But yeah, this is a really slow, messy game. San Diego, honestly, tough to watch. They made so many mistakes offensively. Yeah. They just couldn't get they couldn't get anything going. But once they started getting patient, I think for me, the San Diego team, once they start getting patient, once they start building the phases, not getting greedy, not trying to throw too many passes off the deck or too many offloads, that's when they start getting lethal. And that's where the times where kind of LARFC just couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
But on the RFC side, I mean, their offense is improving. It's continuing to look better. They weren't as bad as Miami, but they're continuing to look better. But I think you'll see this in the fantasy kind of points, but they never really got the ball to the edge that often. And
yeah.
No.
You know, they needed that. They need to get the ball to those killers on the
get
outside.
Get them to
Coe. Coe. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Okay, what was that? What was the yellow against LA? The guy got it for not rolling away. I know you can't roll north to south to really push in, you know, east to west roll away. But you see guy make multiple infractions. And then this guy gets a yellow at the first, 25 minutes for not rolling away.
I think it was because the ref had a conversation with the team saying, you've gotten way too many penalties in this end of the field. Next one, a guy's going to get sent
off. 25 minutes. All right, okay, that's fair enough. I just thought it was weird. When he pulled the yellow out, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's those are tough. Those
now
are
before we kind of get into fantasy point performances, no team of the week honorees in this one just because of how
James Stokes
luster it was. But what team are you more confident? What 0-3 team are you more confident? Obviously we're gonna get into Anthem here. I don't think any of us are choosing
LA.
That, but are you more confident in LA or Miami
LA.
For the rest of the season here?
LA,
I think so too. They're showing a little bit of promise. But we can, I think, all agree this is definitely not the same San Diego side of last season. Correct?
No.
Yes.
I think they're missing your boy Augsburger, man.
Yeah, but I think they had a bad game. I think last week was probably a better inkling of what the San Diego side could be. I don't think this week was a good representation. I think they came out weak. I think
they beat
played
Dallas
really poorly.
By what, 7 last week?
Yeah. I mean, but I think Dallas is a strong, gritty team.
True.
Probably more gritty than LA.
It's
not the same Dallas as last year, but San Diego didn't play well. I think they have to rely a bit more on less star power, but more just building phases and playing a bit more cohesively. And they're going to rely a lot more on their defense this year, which I think their defense has done a really good job, actually.
But I thought San Diego did a good job of taking the penalty kicks when they did. I mean, they only got one try in the outing. What, 4?
McClutchy was very, very impressive off the tee.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into some of these guys. Let's talk about Lincoln McClutchy. I mean, Matt, how good does it feel? 19.6 fantasy points in this one. He started in round 2, starts again in round 3. Have not seen Matt Gateau yet. There are rumbling inklings in the fantasy Rutgers community when the drafts were going on about our rankings, about Lincoln McClutchie in our top five. But how do you choose Lincoln McClutchie?
What over Matt
Gateau? But we haven't seen Gateau yet. We've seen
Gateau McClutchie still in Australia. What up? How many points is he going to score from there, eh, boys?
Let's go.
What up?
He's coming in hot. But yeah, 19.6 fantasy points, 58 meters gained. He had a whole bunch of kicking meters. I mean, four penalty kicks, a conversion kick, a try assist. McClutchie looks pretty solid there for San Diego. Mm-hmm. James Stokes, off of that big try that he scored there, big part of his 135 meters gained, 22.3 fantasy points, 11 tackles. He's been disappointing to start off the 2023 year. I think he was saved by kind of that big play. We'll see kind of how
brought it within one, though.
It's true.
Gamer. That's the gamer.
A couple other guys to keep an eye out for. Marcel Brocchi doing well. 16.4 fantasy points there with the try he scored.
I think if you're saying Stokes saved his day, Brocchi did the same thing. He was just sitting there. He didn't do anything for that try.
Helps he was at 15, too.
And yeah. Semi Kunitani in his first start of the season. 38 meters gained, 11 tackles, 3 breakdown steals.
Yeah, I played against him, too.
A 14.6.
The guy that I liked is actually Ethan Grayson, playing in that outside center position, 12.7 fantasy points. He looked pretty good, threw the ball away a bit too much. So we'll see if he finds himself back there. Might find himself back to the bench just because of how they played. But I do like the way that he looks.
All right, shifting on over to the lone game of the Sunday, and it was the highest scoring one. 96 points scored in this one, 68-28 victory for the Dallas Jackals over Anthem Rugby Carolina. We were hammering Dallas Jackals players heading into this one. It seems like that's going to be the sentiment for the rest of the season until we discover otherwise. A bunch of them in our starts of the week, Matthew, for you and I. Try to fit them as much as I could in my weekly challenge lineup, and it paid off. And there are a whole bunch of Team of the Week honorees, guys, from this matchup. But before we get into that, though, I mean, we'll quickly touch on it. Thoughts on this matchup here?
Yeah, I mean... It was I think the Anthem, there's a lot of encouraging things to come out of this game for me. Like, I think it's a very encouraging sign for them. I think they still have – they need to figure out their set piece ASAP. They got to figure out their scrum. It's making it so hard defensively. You saw the way that Dallas scored off of set piece in the first few tries. It's you're on your back foot the minute you're getting pushed back 10 meters out of the scrum, 10 meters out of a mall. It's just ridiculous.
And Anthem had a yellow card at that time, too. Or, sorry, Dallas had a yellow card.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think Anthem they started off with the usual where they're just kicking the ball away first phase. And I think the way that they need to play is they need to play with ball in hand and kick tactically. They cannot kick for territory. They are not a team that can play for territory. They need to kick tactically. And you saw that with some of their tries. I mean, you saw the one try where they get a try right after they kick it towards the corner and they pin them back in their end. Like, that is the way that Anthem needs to play. And I think they're going to find that identity. And I think they're going to – the fact that they're putting up 28 points is really impressive to me.
Yeah, it's not – you know, they put – what did San Diego get, 30 against Dallas? So, I mean, it's not a bad outing by any means.
Yeah.
But they were in close pretty much the whole game, and then at the end, Dallas just ran away with it, just started lambasting them.
I mean, Carolina dominated the first 20 minutes of the second
half.
It was all Anthem the first 20 minutes of the second half, and that's – they should go back, look at the film on that 20 minutes, and say, this is our identity. This is how we should be playing, and this is how we need to continue to play. And I'm hoping that we continue to see improvement moving forward. And, you know, I can see them beating a team like Miami. I can see them beating a team like Miami. That's it. I can see them beating a team
You think they beat L.A.?
I don't think they beat L.A. I think maybe they beat Chicago.
That's crazy. Imagine saying that at the beginning of the season. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. But hey, 68 points scored by the Dallas Jackals. So, of course, they're going to have a whole bunch of Team of the Week honorees in this one.
Let's go.
Sam Gala. I mean, come on. Are we going to say this guy's name every single week? I think this
feels
guy's
like
going to get sick. I think that this guy's going to get sick and tired of me tagging him in our starts, our Team of the Week posts every single week, because 14.1 in fantasy points for Sam Gala.
Not even
in
a try.
This one, not even a try. I mean, he's going to be. I'm not even.
It wasn't even his most impressive game.
No, it wasn't.
And I'm not even. I'm not even going to put it down as a bet here that him he's going to start as the
He's going to back-to-back second row champ.
Because that's we all know that. We all know that. But hey, some impressive names though that we haven't seen here is Juan de Olivier.
Ooh, Dallas and Campos. I put the French on it. And I put the French on it. Get
13,
out
13,
yours is a different type of French, man.
13 fantasy points at the scrum half position. Will be interesting to see kind of how he does here moving forward. Not a lot of stock, I think, going into the season was there for the Dallas halfbacks. But it seems like they are providing some pretty good fantasy value. I get it. It's against Anthem. But, again, Dallas looking much more improved than last season. So, talk about his pairing. Fly half, Martin Elias. When you're scoring 68 points, you need someone to also kick those points in. He racks up 21.5 fantasy.
We just got to keep him away from those six-foot walkways.
Eight tackles, breakdown steal, and 7 conversion kicks. So Martin Elias. Now, I guess we're going to get into it, but I mean, there's going to be the question surrounding him because Von Isaacs.
There we go. Proud of you.
Von Isaacs last game started, and he obviously had a pretty good performance. Martin Elias starting in this one.
Von Isaacs lives at 15. Keep him at 15. Don't move him from 15. Let him play at 15. You need that guy at 15.
Do you think we need him at 15?
You need him at 15.
Okay.
Do not move him.
Hey, why is it? To be fair, he never got a yellow last game. Maybe he gets more yellows at 15.
That was a well deserved.
I was gonna say. I was waiting for you to be a homer.
That was a well deserved yellow. But you keep him at 15.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You do not move him. You do not move him.
Well, other guys in this matchup that did pretty good, Marcel Muller,
22.8 fantasy
points, 154 meters game. No. Matt, you had him in your weekly challenge lineup. Yeah. He's a back three eligible right now, but started at center. He's going to be electric.
Yeah.
He's going to be a big part of this offense. I mean, yeah, he's a large human. Like, I don't know if him and Axel Muller are related. We need to look this up, but they are both large humans, and I don't want to tackle either of them.
No.
Geronimo Gomez-Vara, 16 fantasy points in this one. Yeah. 45 meters gained, a try, 10 tackles, pretty solid.
And let's talk about guys on the Anthem side because they're not brutal. No. But let's talk about Jake Turnbull. That guy had an absolute game.
And he was coaching out of his mind, too.
He was, and he was grinded out for 72 minutes in the front row. Like, man, he crushed it. And if he's going to continue to get this ball on penalties, on quick taps, they're going to keep doing quick taps, and I love to see it. Boy, that's a lot of opportunity to score trash.
Yep.
And last one here, good to see Terengatir Waitokia making his first start of the season. Pretty solid performance, 81 minutes, 79 meters, gained a try assist for 12 fantasy points. There is value to be had here on this Anthem team. You just got to find it. And there are many, many streaming options. I had to stream Oscar Collar this week because of the
not even a bad play.
Coaster, and not even a bad performance, 9 fantasy points for him. So, pretty exciting week 3 as it continues. I think the big thing here is that outside, I mean, Seattle, Houston are the two teams that are undefeated. They still both have flaws. I feel like I'm probably most confident in Seattle right now, but I mean this league is pretty tight. I mean there is competition. New England is not as far in front as I think a lot of us thought they would be heading into this year, and there's a lot of battling happening in the mid-table here, which is a lot of fun.
I mean, who thought we'd be saying Dallas is 2-1?
No kidding. All right. Well, let's get into our episode 100 special segment, our 0 to 100 segment.
Real quick.
Yep. Real quick what?
No, I was saying 0 to 100. Real quick.
Oh, there we go. There we go. I got you.
That real quick really killed the momentum.
Yeah, it did. It did real kill the
you
momentum.
You never heard of that one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess I was out of the loop.
Yeah, you were.
All right. All right, Connor.
There's another word in there, but we're not going to say it on here.
But anyway, 0 to 100 segment here. We're talking about guys that were not on our radar. They were at a 0 heading into this season and are now quickly at a 100 here.
Real quick.
3 weeks into this. I got it this time. Our 3 weeks into this season are now at the top of the table here. You might say,
my balls are hot. My balls are hot.
For some of these players. So I'll start
with.
Wait,
was that me?
That was you.
Say the D loop.
My balls are hot.
Yeah, let's go.
We got some guys here that have taken it 0 to 100 real quick. like Maddie said. I'm going to go first in this one, and it's Jade Stigley the Seattle Seawolves. I mean, back three player, 46.5 fantasy points to start this season. Everyone was talking about Aina Futi. There was talk about Tony Pulu. No one was talking about Jade Stigley, who is now third overall in all of fantasy scoring here. Who knew? Who knew this guy? Out of the hole, they've been switching guys in and out of the Seattle Seawolves back line. He's been the main de facto guy that has been the staple in there week in and week out. And no one would have thought that he largely went undrafted through everyone's leagues. And if you were able to pick him up, it's fantastic. He only got 6.4 in his round one, but he has been increasing ever since. Back-to-back weeks with Try had a season high in this one against the Utah Warriors with 22.5.
Yeah, he's been an absolute beast this year, which is kind of a shame that he's on Seattle because that team did not need him. They're already good.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could have used one of them.
All right, Maddie, who you got 0 to 100?
Oh, well, you know, for me, I think, and this guy probably should have been our radar, but Jonah Moe, apparently. I'm not convinced, but apparently it's Jonah Moe on Nola Gold, the back row. I mean, we didn't have him in any of our lists at the start of the year. I know he had some time with Moana Pacifica. We probably should have had our eyes open a little wider and saw him, but boy, has he come onto the stage and be an absolute mutant for this Nola Gold team.
Yeah,
he has essentially kind of been the has been just a workhorse. I mean, defensively at the breakdown, Nola Gold plays a perfect solid defense to suit him, getting turnovers and getting steals. Absolute beast with meters gain. He's a constantly part of this offense. It's great to see 42.4 fantasy points in three games.
Overall, who would have thought Jonah Moe would be sixth best player right now in all of fantasy, and also your top back row player right now, which is crazy. I believe they said on the broadcast he's also leading the MLR. I don't know if after week three, but he's leading the MLR in carries, which is
not surprised.
Back row position, which is crazy. Vandy, last guy for you, 0 to 100. Who's your guy?
Real quick.
You know what? I got to go with Vaughn Isaacs. I know he was on the roster last year. There was some, I believe, visa issues, never came over. Started week two, so his points aren't as high as the other guy's name. But I think if he would have played week one, he'd be right up there with them, if not better. This guy is electric. Dallas is finding ways to get him the ball. His try last week came from a cheeky little play where they faked it one way, came back to him, and he burst through that line. You know, he played fly half week two, did the kicking, got him some points, switched to back three week three, and then didn't even slow down. 111 meters with the try. I mean, this guy's going to be electric. And then, you know, it's guys like this that bring life to teams like Dallas. You know, if you just watch the game, he's one of those guys that stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jade Stigling, Jonah Moe, Vaughn Isaacs are your 0 to 100.
Real quick.
Honorees. here, which is pretty exciting on this episode number 100. But just goes to show you, as we head into this next segment, guys, that you got to keep an eye on the waiver wire, because you're going to find guys like this. Maddie picked Jonah Moe up on the waiver wire heading into first week. I know some guys picked up Jade Stigling here. Vaughn Isaacs was a guy that we mentioned last week to pick up. So there's a whole bunch of fantasy production that you can pick off your waiver wire, which is what we're going to get into right now. Talk about our waiver wire watch. But before we get into guys that you need to look out for this week, let's talk about, now that we're 3 weeks in, there's some guys that you might have to be concerned for, and we're going to talk about some potentially droppable guys here heading into week four, guys that people have had questions about whether or not they should hold them on their roster, because I know bench spots are at a premium here in fantasy MLR. I know a lot of our fantasy workers league members have been talking, man, I wish our bench spots would be more than five. That's all we got right now, so you're gonna have to play with it. So let's talk about some guys here that you might be thinking about dropping. I'm going to kind of throw these names out to you, and you guys tell me whether or not you would drop them. My first one is Cam Dolan. He's a second row player for the Nola Gold. I drafted him. He has not played a single game yet. What are you doing with Cam Dolan? Yeah.
We're supposed to
get. Don't worry. I already took my own advice on this. So I'll answer it first then. I've dropped Cam Dolan. I've let him go. Second row position is not providing you a whole bunch of value in the first place. I know Cam Dolan could be that guy. He's played back row before. He's kind of more athletic, can provide that. But if he's not on playing at this point in the season, he might appear later. You might want to try to pick him back up. But I don't think he's worth holding onto that roster spot right now.
No, when he plays, he does play 70, 80 minutes, but like you said, there's no point really banking a second row. The value there isn't crazy. No, I would say, you know, if you need the room, if you can't really hold on anyone, there's some good waiver moves this week. Cam Dolan could be a drop.
You can find 4 and 5 points elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Another guy on this list. What are you doing with Tavita Kuradrani? And he's a guy that obviously there was a lot of hype K-train heading into this year. I don't know, and Matt, you can confirm if I'm wrong on this, but I don't know if it's visa issues. I don't know if he just hasn't arrived yet. He hasn't even appeared in the lineup. What are you doing with Tavita Kuradrani at this point of this season, now that we're 3 weeks in and haven't even got a whiff of K-train yet?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, he says. Bye.
What do you like? I mean, does our offense need it? Like,
it's true.
I get it. He's Tavita Kuradrani, but Divin Rousseau has been an absolute beast. And like, where does he fit in?
Right.
I just don't see it. I think even when he comes back, he's going to need time to kind of gel with the offense anyways. And frankly, the guys that they got are informed. Like, I think it's time you kind of make that decision and you potentially drop him and hope that, hey, if he's back, then you put on big in the waivers.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into some harder questions here. What are you doing with Mark O'Keefe? He was a guy that was that was kind of highly sought out for, obviously, with a hype behind Chicago. He's only scored 9.3 fantasy points in 2 weeks. He was not even in the lineup for week three. What are you doing with Mark O'Keefe?
I mean, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one. Because it's not like he's new to the team. He played for Chicago last year. He switched between, what, center and back three, I think, something like that.
Yeah, he played on the wing. And I think he's just a product of a really bad back line.
Yeah, like, I'd agree.
Bryce Campbell and Billy Meeks are the only two guys that are really getting the ball. Nate Oxberger is having to fight for his life
to
try and get the ball. Like, you can see him trying to work and try to get himself into space. And it's just not as easy sometimes. I think I don't know if it's a drop yet. I don't think it's a drop yet. I think Mark O'Keefe, you have to give that Chicago offense some time.
Mm-hmm.
Give them some time to gel. Give them some time to figure it out on what they're doing. And Mark O'Keefe, I think, will get the fruits of the labor at some point.
And then last guy that I want to mention here, another tough one. What are you doing with Rodney Iona? And I bring up him because he's in our free agency right now in the Fantasy Rutgers League. He has 13.7 fantasy points in 2 weeks. His kicking isn't going through for him right now. He didn't play in week two, so his points are a little bit down. But Rodney Iona, what are you doing with him at the fly high position? We know that position is a premium. There's not many kickers out there. Are you, you know, preferring a guy like Oscar Collar over Rodney Iona? That's probably a big question. Mm-hmm. What are you doing with Iona?
No, I mean, look, he's played under 70 minutes in two games straight. That's not a great sign. That's not a great sign of 10. That does not show the team has confidence in your ability to kind of steer the ship. And I honestly don't have confidence in him to steer the ship. He showed this last year as well, where he's just kicking the ball aimlessly. He's not making the right decisions at all times. He's obviously not doing that great off the tee. It's tough. I mean, what I would actually do is definitely, if there's an Oscar Collar out there, I would drop Rodney Iona for him.
Yeah,
for sure. If you don't have anybody out there that you're confident in at that 10 position, you make sure that you have Reese Botha, because there's going to be a point in time where Reese Botha is going to take over that starting position this year, and you're going to want to have him when he does.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if not him, then they also got Dorian Jones, who I think kicked in the first game for him.
Yeah.
Or no, round
the
two.
The second game. Yeah.
So, you know, Iona might have a short leash, and especially after last week when they would have tied the game if he hit those conversions, or not the conversion, the penalties. So, yeah, I mean, fly half's a premium, so I would drop him for another fly half, like you guys mentioned, Oscar Collar. But, you know, if you don't have another fly half, maybe hold on to him.
Yeah, you just got to make sure you have, like, it's going to take up two spots in your team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're going to feel way more comfortable having Reese Botha on your bench.
Yeah.
Than just having Iona.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get into some of the watch list waiver wire guys. And we'll, based on position, we'll kind of go in if you would drop a guy for any of the guys that we had just talked about. But let's get into the front row position. Matt, I think you and I are both in lockstep in terms of who we're picking up here at the front row position if you want it, and that is Jake Turnbull. I mean, Jake Turnbull, he's a staple of that lineup when it comes to the anthem. I know you're going to be a little bit hesitant when it comes to Jake Turnbull because he's on the anthem, but I mean, 70+ minutes gain.
Yeah.
He scored
There's
a try.
There's no need to be hesitant. They can score points. They've shown 3 games in a row that they can score points. Whether that's 14 or whether that's 28, I mean, they've shown that they can score points, and I don't think there's any hesitancy that you need, especially with the forward back on the
And there's not many front row players that can get you 10.7 fantasy points already, especially when you're not a hooker. You know what I mean? Like, front row position, prop, he's getting you those points. He's getting you the bonus point or hovering around those 70 minutes, and he didn't even have double-digit tackles, which he averaged the first 2 weeks, and he was able to get 10.
The one thing with him, though, he'll be a little bit more match-dependent just based off being on Anthem. You know, they're playing a tough team. You know, Jake Turnbull, you know, week one, he only got 3.7. So you might be looking at some results like that when they play tougher teams, but.
Absolutely. Very fair. Well, 21.2 fantasy points so far in 3 matches played. How much fab are you willing to drop if Jake Turnbull is on your line?
Not much.
I think as a sentiment as a whole, you're just not dropping much from the front row position.
No.
I mean, even ours, DeWalt Coetzee, right, was on our waiver. Like, I picked him up as a free agent in ours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's just because people are dumb.
All right, coming on over to the second row position, Thomas Caceres. Again, both Maddie and I lockstep in terms of who we're picking up here in the second row, and that is Thomas Caceres here, who has 27.1 fantasy points on the season so far for the Miami Sharks.
Yeah, to me, it's the 2 games in a row, double-digit tackles, and plus, I guess, like 40 meters gain.
Yeah,
that's a pretty impressive stat line for a second row. I think if any time you can get like over 6 points from a second row, you're sitting pretty. I would have said Frank Lahore, but I realized that he's no longer on our waiver wire.
I actually was able to pick up Frank heading into the
good
match.
Pickup, man.
When Eddie Fido was put on the IR, was able to scoop him up there. But yeah, I agree with you, Thomas Caceres, 15.1 in round 2 for a season high. He got 9.3. I think that's the big thing. I think, Vandy, you mentioned it last episode. You're just kind of looking for guys that are playing
minutes
above 70 minutes.
Front row, second row position, minutes.
And you're just crossing your fingers to hope that they do something.
Yeah.
And kind of Thomas Caceres kind of fits that mold.
If not him, maybe Yuri Van Buren too. RFCLA, you know, he's not far behind Thomas Caceres. So just another name, you know, if you don't want to maybe pay – I don't want to call it top dollar because I wouldn't really drop a whole hell of a lot but
you know, you drop a dollar on one guy, you put the second, if you don't get him, then whatever, you put the second.
Throw
on
$2, throw $2. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Waiver priority.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, again, second row position, kind of same sentiment as the front row. You guys aren't dropping that much money here on either of these guys.
No.
All right. Let's move on to the back row position now in terms of guys that you would pick up. I'm making a last minute change here for my pickup of the week. And I'm if he's starting, I know we didn't have Justin Bisson here, and I would have thrown him in there, but I had him on my waiver wire watch last week. I would keep an eye out for him if he's still on your waiver wire. But I'm sticking with the Houston side of things. Kenny Nasukiki, 2-3 starts in a row here for the Houston Sabercats. Again, not getting necessarily the minutes, but again, he scored tries in back-to-back games. He has the low tackle numbers, but the reason why I'm feeling more confident with him is because, Matt, a sentiment that you brought up last episode, the way that Houston is using their forwards near the 22s, and if he are going to be involved in the scoring there, you're just hoping he's kind of like your boom bust type guy. If he can get in the try zone there, he's gonna get you. I'm not dropping any dollars here on Nasukiki, but if you need some back row depth, I could side with him.
Yeah. That's a good logic there. I think for me, the waiver wire, I think for Corey Daniel, I like him in the back row position.
Yeah,
I think Fan Anna Schultz is going to get some sort of suspension because it wouldn't be an MLR season without him getting suspended at some point.
Three games. It seems to be the standard. Probably 3
and
games.
And Corey Daniel is going to be the benefactor of that. He's going to play 80 minutes for the next however long he's suspended. He's going to have 15-plus tackle game.
That's what you're looking for.
More chances to carry the ball. And really what he's missing is really the meters gain, and hopefully with Fanana Schultz out, he kind of gets and seizes some of those opportunities.
And hopefully he stops getting yellow cards.
Yeah, that too.
All right, let's swift on over the scrum half position. Again, a kind of a dry wasteland when it comes to the scrum half position, but we're going to try to dig deep here in terms of who we can get. The first guy I want to kind of mention is Juan D. Olivier. He may still be on your waiver wire. He's probably not available. He's not available in the Fantasy Rutgers League, but I know that there was a sentiment against the halfbacks for the Dallas Jackals heading into the season, so maybe he's still sticking around. You'll definitely want to put down money. If he's on your waiver wire there, I would drop some money on him. If you need scrum half, I would definitely try to get Juan D. Olivier. Yeah. I would be willing to spend. I spent 13% of my half on Siosi Nye heading into this matchup, not having any trust in Nick McCarthy. I would spend even more than that. I would go up to 15% here if Juan D. Olivier is still on your waiver wire and you're in need of a scrum half.
Yeah.
French but another is more expensive.
Another guy that I will mention, Kieran McClee. Obviously, Utah is dealing with backline issues on going moving out to the center position.
Yeah.
7.9 fantasy points. Again, you're just looking for a start here at this point with the scrum half position. He may have been dropped if he was drafted in your leagues. So look out for Kieran McClee. Keep an eye on those injuries. He may be starting again this week for the Utah Warriors.
Yeah, and I think because the scrum half thing is so tight, Cam Norley, Kelametti. From the New England Free Jacks, John Poland went off kind of holding his shoulder, and he came on. So if John Poland's out, this might be a little sneaky little waiver pickup. Don't put any money down on it. Just kind of pick him up so you have him once the free agency comes around and once the lineup's announced and Poland's not in it.
Yeah.
I'm dropping money again on Juan D. Olivier up to 15%, but Kieran McClee, and I would say you probably agree with me for your pickup, Matt, is that you're maybe just putting a bid in for $0, $1, or nothing at all and just waiting to see.
I mean, Kieran McClee could lose his starting role next week if everybody comes back.
I swear, if they keep starting Zion going in front of him, I'm going to freak out.
In front of him?
Yeah, I'm going to freak out.
Over Kieran, you get out of here.
Don't start Zion going in front of McClee. Don't do it.
Crazy.
All right, fly half position here. Matt and I are again agreeing on this one after the performance he put up against the Anthem. Martin Elias, 29.8 fantasy points for the Dallas Jackals, kicking those 7 conversions in. I had him in my weekly challenge lineup. If you need a fly half and he's still out there, scoop this guy up because Dallas Jackals look good. I think kind of the same sentiment to Juan D. Olivier. I'd be dropping if you need a fly half. If I'm the Rodney Iona owner.
Yeah, right?
I am dropping bank on Martin Elias. Yeah, like I am going upwards of 20%. I could go on this, maybe even 25%. If you're in need of a fly half, we know how kind of premium kicking points are. Dallas Jackals have improved. Martin Elias proved that he can kick well and efficiently against the Anthem. I know it was against the Anthem, but nonetheless, he's a better option right now than Rodney Iona.
As long as Vaughn Isaac stays at 15, you got nothing to worry about.
Keep him at 15.
Matt's not the coach, so remember to just keep an eye out there.
Keep him at 15, coach.
Matt, you agree? 25%, yeah. 25% of Martin Elias?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
There's no reason for Vaughn to not play fullback. So
yeah, it depends who you have, but if you're not confident and you think you need a guy to step in, like if you got Iona, I'm dropping on Elias.
Okay.
Now, if you only had Rodney, would you drop Iona just for him? Or would you drop someone else?
I would drop Iona for...
And go one fly Elias. Half?
Yeah. I mean, I would rather have other positions. You can always pick up... Well, I guess you can't always because the handcuff...
I was going to say, I wouldn't say always. Isaacs.
So, I mean...
Just a little devil's advocate for you.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. That's a tough decision there, but I think I would.
Yeah,
I think I would.
That's fair.
All right, shifting on over to the center position. For me, I'm going to put down James Stokes. And the reason why I put him down is because of the big-time performance he had this last week. Yeah. He was probably drafted in your leagues heading into it, but he might have been dropped. I mean, disappointing performances in round one, round two. 6 fantasy points, 5.2, not what you like to see at the center position, but then gets 22.3 in this one. Not dropping too much down on him. 135 meters gain and a try. A lot of that going on, that big-time long-distance try he scored against the San Diego Legion. But nonetheless, though, he's getting the minutes.
Yep.
He should be riding the wave of an improving RFC Los Angeles team. Mm-hmm. We'll see and whether or not you can put him in. Are you dropping James Stokes for Mark O'Keefe?
Are you dropping Mark O'Keefe for James Stokes?
Or dropping Mark O'Keefe for James Stokes?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I don't know. I mean, like, outside of last game, it's pretty much the same, no?
Yeah.
Like, pretty much same performances out of the two. I think the only reason I would pick up James Stokes is because the Chicago offense, if you're not willing to be patient or you don't can't afford to be patient, then, hey, you got to go with the offense is better. And LA RFC or RFC LA is a better offense right now.
Are you dropping Kurajani for Stokes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And Maddie, your center position pickup of the week.
I got Ethan Grayson. I already mentioned him. I think he looks good. I think he's young, so he's going to make some mistakes, but he is a workhorse and he knows how to break tackles, which is very impressive.
All right. And then shifting on to the last position here, back three, or I should say second last position. Matt and I are agreeing on this one. Marcel Miller.
He's going to lose his eligibility soon.
Yeah. Yes, of the Dallas Jackals. He is going to lose his eligibility, but that might actually play in your favor because obviously centers are at a premium. You can kind of bank on back three players getting that try and kind of see who's starting there. But Marcel Miller, 22.8 fantasy points this past week, which was electric. You know, he really showed it off against Anthem. 154 meters gained, 8 tackles, a try assist. He's going to be fun. Would you drop Muller? Or, excuse me, would you drop O'Keefe for Muller?
Jeez, figure it out. Yeah, I would. I would, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much?
But Muller is not just like it was because against Anthem. He's a big part. They used him a lot. And he made the most of being used.
Yeah,
he's a large man.
How much you drop in? You're a center needy team. You know that Muller's going to end up being center. How much money are you dropping down on Muller? I'd be willing to go 10%.
Yeah.
I mean, I would go 15, 20%, but yeah.
Okay. All right, and the last thing here, and I think we'll keep this one quick. I mean, defense, set piece, we kind of alluded to it before.
Are there any available?
This season, there's not any available except for Anthem in the Fantasy Rutgers League, but
don't
we're in the 10-team league. But I'm this is a disclaimer to all of our Fantasy Rutgers League members, I'm punting this position.
100%.
In the punting position.
Best case scenario is you're getting a 5, yeah, I'm punting that position.
Like, yeah, I'm kind of glad that
5 from the Anthem.
No.
It's true. But, like, I could care less. Matchup dependent. I'm just filling that lineup with someone.
100%.
That's not
a warm body. That's all you need in that position. Warm bodies.
Seeing what I get there. You might be happy because you have a top, you know, in the New England Free Jacks, the Seattle Seawolves, but I'm not too concerned about it if you're going with just kind of a random.
Even in the coming weeks, if you have a team on bye, like, and Anthem's the only one left, and you don't know who to drop, don't drop them. You don't have to.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I wouldn't even be carrying two defense even.
Yeah.
You know,
and we got buys coming up in I believe week 5.
But
so,
Matt, I completely agree. Even if Utah was on bye, I'm not even dropping them for Anthem.
Yeah, like if I had to drop a guy on my bench that I don't know if he's going to go off or not. I'm not dropping for a team that might score 0 points.
All right. Well, keep an eye out on some of those names that we had listed there for the watch list. Should be helpful. This should be another busy waiver wire period, like always. All right, let's quickly get into our week 4 preview. Guys, we've been doing pretty good here. We're doing well in Rangers picks in our prediction thing. Matt, you are 14-3-1. I have tied up with you with that NOLA New England Free Jacks kind of mix up. I am now 14-3-1 too. And now, Vandy, I got to give you respect. You've been siding with your Utah boys. They've been hurting you. You're 12-5-1, but that's still pretty solid. Still pretty solid. So let's see whether or not.
Because I'm faithful. I'm loyal.
Continue that record here going into week 4. We start off with the match of the week. We got a Friday matchup this week, boys, and it's a big
one.
Thank God. A sole matchup, Battle of the Undefeated. The Seattle Seawolves take on the Houston Sabercats, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. This one's going to be a fun one, and it's going to be a really, really good battle between the two teams that have yet to lose this season. What are you guys expecting out of this one?
This is going to be physical.
Yes.
Very physical, and I'm excited.
Should be good.
Big teams, man. Really big teams.
I would expect a top lineup to be back out. So, Davey Coetzer should be back in the lineup here this
Riker
week.
Riker Hadding might not be out there. HIA, that might be at least a week or two.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that are available, though. You know what I mean? Like, Houston kind of – it felt like Houston put a – like a not a secondary side, but a lot of guys that weren't your kind of marquee names in there.
I would expect
some of those guys to be back in.
All the guys – maybe guys will be expecting the forwards to be the big matchup. I think the big matchup is going to be whoever's at center for Houston against Dan Creel and Devin Rousseau. I mean, those are some big lads going against some big lads.
Yeah.
Big bodies against big bodies. Those are going to be some big collisions
there. What's your prediction on the starting back line for Seattle? Or is it Creel, Rousseau, Pulu, and Sigling?
Yeah.
Same as what they just
had. I would run the exact same thing.
All right. They have to. Who do we got in this matchup? I'm going to go last. I still don't know, but Maddie, you go.
Seattle's at home. We're going Seattle.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
I think I am going Seattle as well in this one. All right.
Damn, do I try to get the lead here or pull closer? Nah, no, no. I think Seattle wins this.
Yeah, I think Seattle. Seattle, I think they're. I think the at home part is the big one.
For me too.
All right. Old Glory DC taking on the San Diego Legion for your first matchup on Saturday. Old Glory is 1-1-1 after their tie with Chicago. San Diego 2-1 with the victory over RFC LA. This one should be an interesting one. Any guys that stand out to you in this one? I mean, Jason Robertson. Kicking back on.
Martin Vaca.
Martin Vaca, Axel Muller, Damian Hoyle, and big guys. Gonna be big games from them.
Yeah.
I think Lincoln McClutchy's gonna have a big game.
I'm starting off. I'm going Old Glory.
Okay. I think I'm gonna go Old Glory in this one too.
Whatever.
Well.
You guys stink. San Diego Legion, baby. Let's go. Okay.
All right.
Coming from the guy who said they're not the same this year.
Whoa, I said they're fine. I said
I'm sticking with it. I'm consistent here.
Boys, you guys sound the same. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got the battle. We had the battle.
You only sound different when that two's out.
We got the battle of the undefeated. We got a battle of the defeated in the second matchup of Saturday. Miami Sharks 0-3 taking on Anthem Rugby Carolina, who is 0-3 as well. Will they get their first victory of
imagine they tie?
That would be pretty funny. I think the only guy that I'm really, really confident in, and I'm going to hammer him, I'm announcing it here, I hope I can fit him in into my weekly challenge lineup. He's going to be my start of the week, Felipe Echeverry. I'm putting it down right now in this one. He's going to absolutely eat in this one.
I think Coe's going to eat in this one. Or no, not Coe, sorry. Wrong team.
Yeah. Felipe Echeverry, I think, is going to be solid here. I'm going to go Miami in this one.
Miami?
Yeah.
Shocker.
Don't give me the sarcasm there, Vandy.
Well, we all said Anthem might win two games this year. I think we're all going Miami.
I mean, but to be fair,
this could be the one, right?
If there's gonna be anyone, it would be the Anthem winning this one, right? So I think Felipe Echeverry is gonna be in this one.
I think I am gonna
start Siosi Nye in this one though over Nick McCarthy still, for sure. In my lineup, but you guys are thinking.
What did Anthem do last week? Oh, they got smoked by Houston.
Who?
I'm looking at RFCLA. God.
Anthem, they put up 28 points against the Dallas Jackets.
Their logos look so close.
One of them.
They got the same guy. They got the same designer. Half-baked A.
All right, stop stalling, guys. You guys need to make this.
I know. Damn
it. This hard. You just said that it was an easy one.
Go to the next one.
No, you got to make a pick.
Okay, let me get some. This is how you think harder.
Miami's set piece is going to dominate. We know that.
Yep.
Miami's backline has not shown that they're good enough.
Okay, Vanny's going Anthem.
Has not shown that they're good enough to actually take advantage of that. But is that this the game that they kind of find their confidence? I don't know.
I just can't get around my head of saying that Miami is going to be the last place team in the league under the Anthem. I think there will be no point in this season.
I think Anthem will come last.
Yeah, I'm going with Anthem. Oh. I'm going with Vandy. We're going to Anthem.
Let's go! Let's go, Vandy!
I'm going to look like such an idiot when Anthem get their first win here. All right, shifting on to the last matchup of the Saturday, Dallas Jackals taking on the NOLA Gold. This one should be a fun one.
I'm done. I'm done dumping on Dallas, man. They are legit.
Dumping
on Dallas just before we started.
No, yeah, we weren't. I was going off on Isaacs.
Both teams are 2-1. Both teams are on the upswing after what was mediocre seasons last year. Who do you guys got? And I mean, this one should be fun.
This one should be
Filimone's going to eat.
I ain't straying away from Nola's. Nola's going to go. They got this one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to go Dallas then. I think this is the week that we all kind of choose different things. I'll go Dallas in this one. I'm riding the train with Dallas. I love seeing Dallas being good this year. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So I'm going to go with Dallas. Any guys that you'd look out for in this one?
Marcel Muller.
Isaacs.
Vaughn Isaacs, yeah.
Vaughn Isaacs.
I think Vaughn's going to have a game.
So
I think,
you guys are picking all Dallas Jaguars.
I think JP Duplessis is going to have a pretty big game. I think he has a nice
little matchup. I think Filimone, two tries.
Yeah, that too.
All right. First matchup of the Sunday, Chicago Hounds taking on the New England Free Jacks. I'm hammering my New England Free Jacks one. Chicago 1-1-1, New England Free Jacks 2-1.
Too much experience on Free Jacks, man.
We'll just say I'm just starting all my Free Jacks guys. I'm going Free Jacks in this one. Yep. We'll keep it short.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone
Chicago gives us a reason to think otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. As a Billy Meeks owner, I am still concerned. I'm really hoping LaRue Milan comes back in this one.
He's supposed to be.
Didn't he get his fly half eligibility now?
That is true.
Now you can set him a fly half. Way to go. Congratulations.
Now he's going to be on my bench.
Who's that?
Billy Meeks.
Oh, yeah.
So LaRue Milan cannot be coming back at a more perfect time for me. All right. Last match of the week is RFC Los Angeles at home taking on the Utah Warriors. 0-3 against Vandy's Utah Warriors.
Utah, this is a get-right game. Bunch of guys are coming back. Utah. And we get the bonus point.
And the bonus point, he says. Okay. And your boy should be back. They said that they should be back here.
I'm expecting everybody except Joe Mauna.
Okay.
If Joe Mauna comes back, he is a mon. Oh.
Nice. I see what you did there.
That was awful.
Maddie, what do you got in this one?
Look, I think even if they come back, it's going to be a tight game. I think Los Angeles are going to be riding a little high after that last. Keeping it close with San Diego, I think they're going to be happy.
Yeah, we kept it close against debatably the best team in the MLR.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
With kids playing in the back.
Oh, yeah?
How about those mountains, though?
Good for you. They are nice.
Those mountains in the back. Utah's the nicest stadium.
They are really nice, but too bad they aren't there in Utah, and they're going to be in RFCLA. And unfortunately, they're going to lose to RFCLA.
Boys. Right, I'm going RFCLA in this one as well.
Perfect. I get to close the gap.
We'll see.
Ryan, by the end of this week, I'll be beating you.
That could be possible. But hey, those are our picks for week 4. Should be an exciting. We've got a whole bunch of fun storylines in this one. I'm really, really looking forward to that Friday matchup.
I regret that anthem pick.
Oh, you're looking for that.
I know you're going to regret that anthem pick. I know you guys are going to regret that anthem pick.
Yeah, probably.
I'm picking anthem while I'm picking up all my Miami Sharks guy off the waiver wire.
Listen, beer can was talking and all it echoed was anthem.
Well, you're hedging your bets. You're either going to win in our pick segment, or you're going to do really well in the fantasy.
Nah, I actually think Andrew's going to.
Hey, Ryan, how well are you going to do in the weekly challenge?
Probably like another 70 points.
Hey, we got to make a new rule. You're not allowed to play anybody against Anthem.
No, that defeats the purpose.
No, that's the new rule.
All right. Well, speaking of weekly challenge, make sure you get signed up there. The link is down below in the description. If you aren't already, follow us on socials at the Fantasy Ruckers. Handles up above. Get out of here. handles up above, down below in the description. Join our Discord community. Give us a like. Give us a subscription here on a very, very exciting episode 100. Let's hit it for the boys one more time. Let's get dancing. Episode 100. Thank you so much to our Fantasy Ruckers community members for following along. And here's to another 100 here on the Fantasy Ruckers show. For Matt Yee, for Devin Vandy Vandepool, I'm Ryan Yee, and this is another edition of the Fantasy Ruckers show.
We're
see you next week, guys.
We're getting striked.
You've been listening to the Fantasy Ruckers Show, bringing fantasy rugby to the masses, covering everything rugby from the MLR and beyond. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review, and be sure to tell all your friends. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, connect with us on social media at the Fantasy Ruckers. Till next time, this is the Fantasy Ruckers Show, signing off.